हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ ईशावास्यम् इदगुं सर्वम् इदगुं सर्वम् यत्किञ्च जगत्याञ्जगत् यत्किञ्च जगत्याञ्जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः मा हृधः कस्य स्विद्धनम् कस्य स्विद्धनम् कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीविषेच्छतगुं समाः जिजीविषेच्छतगुं समाः एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असूयानाम ते लोकाः अन्धेन तमसा वृताः तागुंस्ते प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति ये के चात्महनो जनाः अनेजदेकम् मनसो जवीयः नैनद्देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत् तद्धावतोऽन्यानत्येति तिष्ठत्तस्मिन्नपो मात् तिष्ठत् तिष्ठत्तस्मिन्नपो
मातरिष्वादधाति
तदेजति तन्नैजति तद्दूरे तद्वन्तिके तदन्तरस्य सर्वस्य तदु सर्वस्यास्य बाह्यतः यस्तु सर्वाणि भूतानि आत्मन्येवानुपश्यति सर्वभूतेषु चात्मानम् ततो न विजुगुप्सते यस्मिन् सर्वाणि भूतानि आत्मैवाभूद् विजानतः तत्र को मोहः कशोकः एकत्वमनुपश्यतः सपर्यगाच्छुक्रम् अकायमौरणम् अस्नाविरम् शुद्धमपापविद्धम् कविर्मनीषी परिभूस्वयंभूः याथातथ्यतोर्थान् व्यदधाच्छाश्वतीभ्य समाभ्यः. That is the last part we have to see in the Bhashya. Yatha tatya torthan vyadadha chashvati bhyaha samabhyaha. If you break it, yatha tatyataha अर्थान् व्यदधात् शाश्वतीभ्यः समाभ्यः. सो ब्रेक् इट् अस्ति मीन् एस् हौ यु गेट् द वर्ड्. ओके, सो वि आर् सीयिङ्ग् दि एय्त् मन्त्र. Where Atma Swarupam is discussed, and the first line of the mantra reveals the Nirupadhika Nirvisesha Nirguna Atma Swarupam, the nature of the abstract reality is discussed in the first line. The second line also, Atma Rupam is discussed, how Atma is, which also Atma Rupam but with Upadhis. Let us read the mantra again. Sapariyaga. Now I want to break it. Saha pariyagat shukram akayam avranam asnaviragam. Take it as asnaviram. Okay. Shuddham apapavidham. And what did Shankara say? we have to take them into, we have to take those neutral gender words as masculine gender words. Now let us say, Saha, Paryagat, Shukraha, Akayaha, Abranaha, Asnaviraha, Shuddhaha. With those, Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. This all pervasive abstract reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge implied by the term Atma is distinct from, not limited by, bound by the peripheries of the physical body, subtle body, and even causal body obtaining in the form of ignorance. Isn't it? So, Akayaha, Avranaha, Asna Viraha, these three words negate subtle body and gross body. Then the word Shuddhaha, Atma is of the nature of absolute purity, means Atma is not any impurity in the form of ignorance, which means that negates the causal body also. Now, apapa vidha, Atma is of free from punya papams. Atma doesn't have doership. Atma consciousness does not have doership or the enjoyership. Consciousness is not the doer nor the enjoyer. Therefore, consciousness does not attract any punya papam. So, consciousness is not afflicted by any punya papam. No dharma, adharma, right, wrong, good, bad, anything for Atma. Okay, Atma is the truth of everything. Now we saw the next sentence. And Kavihi means absolute seer of everything, the knower of everything. Atma is not the, from, we ask, Atma, the consciousness, is not the seer, knower, perceiver, thinker, anything. But there cannot be, there is no doer, seer, perceiver other than the Atma. What is it? Kavihi. Then, therefore, Sarvadrukku, all knowing. Sarvadrukku, all knowing. The knower of everything. Then, Manishi. I said Manishi also means the knower of everything, all knowing, but still, because already one meaning has been given. Kavihi itself means Sarvadrukku. Therefore, Manishi need not be taken as Sarvadrukku. Even the Harvadrukku meaning is also that Sarvajnaha. Sarvadrukku means Sarvajnaha, all knowing. But Manasaha, see that Manasaha Yishita, it has come from the root Ish, different root. Ish is different root, palatal shakara. This is cerebral shakara, Ish. Ishati, Ishate means one who supervises, one who restrains, controls. That's the meaning. So Manasaha Yishita Manishi. So Manishi, Lord is here. Atma is not only, Atma is all knowledge, the Lord of everything. Then Paribhuhu, I said yesterday, Paribhuhu means Sarvesham Pari Upari Bhavati, the one who is above all. There is nothing above the Atma, nothing beyond the Atma. Nothing beyond the Atma, above the Atma. Atma is above all means Atma is not bound by, limited by anything. Atma is of the nature of limitlessness, unlimited, distinct from everything, Therefore, Atma is free from everything, not limited by anything. Atma is above time, above space, above all forms, names and functions. Atma is unlimited by anything. Okay? Upari, okay? Paribhuhu, then Swayambhuhu. Swayambhuhu, I have told very clearly, Swayambhuhu literally means that which exists by itself. That which is self-existent is a literal meaning. But here, Shankara Bhagavatpada gives a different meaning. Yesham uparibhavati. Yascha uparibhavati. So here, we have come to this point yesterday, I think. Yesham uparibhavati. Let us read the verse now, mantra there. Yesham uparibhavati. Yascha uparibhavati.
Yascha uparibhavati.
Saha sarvaha. Swayameva bhavati. Iti. Swayambhuhu. What it says, there are beings of inferior order, beings of superior order, higher order. What is being of higher order? Higher order being, now I tell you, we take the whole ocean. Ocean, the whole, is of higher order because the whole. Wave, the fraction of the whole, is in inferior order. Why it is inferior? Small. Always fraction cannot exist independently without the whole. Can any wave exist by itself, all by itself, without the ocean being around? If the wave has to be there, please listen to me carefully. If the wave has to be there, enjoying the status of being the wave must be, what now? Wave must have the entire ocean full of waves around. No wave can exist independently without the ocean being around. A fraction cannot exist independent of the total, the whole. Okay, therefore, always fraction, an individual, is dependent on the total. No human being can live by oneself independently without the rest of the world being there. If any one of us has to live here in this world as an individual human being, we can live, the life is possible only if there is rest of the world. There must be other beings, there must be other living beings, there must be other human beings. Okay? And any individual can survive only as a, okay, only when the rest of the world is around. Any fraction can exist only when the rest of the whole is around. Isn't it? Therefore, the individual or fraction, which is dependent on the total or the whole, is looked upon as an inferior being of inferior order. The total is looked upon as what? Being of superior order. Just to understand it. So the total is given the title Ishvara. Isn't it? The fraction is given the title Devata. Any natural phenomenon is looked upon as Devaha or Devata. All the devatas put together is what? Ishwaraha. The whole, the Lord. Is it clear? So here, what he wants to say as a meaning of the word Swayambhuhu, Atma is the Atma of the higher order, and Atma of the being of inferior order also. That's all. Atma is all. It is Yesham Upari Bhavati. So Yesham Devanam Upari Ishwaraha Bhavati. The Lord who is exalted superior to all the devatas, individual devatas, is also Atma. Ishwaraha is Atma, the individual devata is also Atma. What is a tree? Tree is Atma. What about the jungle? Jungle is Atma. What about the wave? Wave is Atma. Ocean is Atma. One animal is Atma. All animals are Atma. One human being is Atma. All human beings are Atma. Devata is Atma. Ishvara is also Atma. Jiva is Atma. Ishvara is also Atma. Wave is water. Ocean is water. Like that, individual being is Atma. Individual Devata is Atma. Okay? And total Ishvara is also Atma. Essentially, all are one. Therefore, Atma is all. All that is Atma. Okay? That's what. And Swayameva Bhavati Iti Swayambhuhu. So this absolute abstract reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, implied by the term Atma, is of the nature of self-existence, and this Atma is the reality, is the reality of all everything. This is the meaning of the word Swayambhuhu given by Adishankara Bhagavad Pada in this commentary. And we are moving on to the last meaning of the last word in the mantra. What is that last word? Yatha tathyataha arthan vyadadhat shashvatibhya samabhya. We have to take completely different meanings. I told you already. Samaha means samvatsaraha. Samvatsaraha means years. No? Year, month, but year. Years. But here, samvatsaraha should be taken as what? Devataha. So what it means is, it is the Atma who enjoys the status of being the Lord of all. Who is the Lord here? With reference to ocean, who is the Lord? No, the Lord is the one who lends existence, sustains, thereby protects. With reference to ocean, water doesn't say, I am the Lord of the ocean. It's our understanding. Without the water, ocean cannot exist. Ocean cannot be sustained. What is it which sustains, lends existence, lends life to this form, name and function called ocean? It's the water. Therefore, from the standpoint of the life enjoyed, the standpoint of sustenance, existence, we say, with reference to ocean, the Lord of the ocean is water. It's only a qualification. Please understand, Ishvaraha, the Lord, is only a qualification, title, attributed to the reality. Is it clear? There's no Lord sitting anywhere. Ishvaraha is a title, qualification attributed to the reality. Therefore, we say, with reference to this entire cosmos of everything here, when you say cosmos, not an easy thing. Inexplicably vast is this cosmos, this universe. With reference to this entire universe, who is the Lord? The Atma is not the Lord, but the Ishvara status, the status of being the Lord, is attributed to Atma. Why? Because the one who lends existence, sustains, lends consciousness, sentiency to the everything here is Atma. Therefore, the Lord of everything is, the whole is Atma. Therefore, it is said, Yatha Tathyataha means, let us read the Bhashyam now. Saha Nitya Muktaha Ishwaraha. So, Atma is the Ishwara, ever free Lord. Lord is not limited by anything. Lord is free from everything, all limitations. And that ever free Lord is none other than the very reality implied by the term Atma. Saha Nitya Muktaha Ishwaraha. Who is ever free Lord? Atma. Saha Nitya Muktaha Ishwaraha. It is this Atma which enjoys the status of being the Lord of everything. Yatha Tathyataha means what? Sarvajnyatvat. Due to his being the source of all knowledge, due to this omniscience, because of all knowledge, omniscience, yathatathabhavaha is yathatatyam. Yathatatyam means yathatathabhavaha. Yathatathabhavaha means what? You have to understand, isn't it? We say give one meaning. What does the other word mean? So, yatha tathyataha is the word found in the mantra. And Shankara Bhagavatpada writes the meaning, yatha tatha bhavaha. What is yatha tatyam? Yatha tatha bhavaha. What is yatha tatha bhavaha? So, he gives himself, explains. Tasmad yatha bhuta karma phala sadhanam. He says, yathabhuta karmaphala sadhanataha. Yathabhuta karmaphala sadhanataha means what? Because of the means of the results of actions. In keeping with the punyam every devata has in one's account. Okay? In keeping with the account, the punyam devatas have, artan vyadadhat. Artan means kartavya padarthan vyadadhat. What has to be done by each devata? That is duty. Kartavya means duty. Kartavya padarthan, different varied duties are allotted for varied devatas in keeping with their punyam. Isn't it? And who ordains these duties to different devatas in keeping with their punyam? Who's that? Atma. Ishwaraha. Correct. Ishwaraha. Who is Ishwaraha? Atma. Atma is not Ishwara, but Ishwara is Atma. Remember here. Atma is not Ishwaraha, but Ishwaraha is Atma. Atma is not Jivaha, but Jivaha is Atma. Atma is not Devata, but Devata is Atma. Atma is not a human beings, but human beings are Atma. Atma is not animals, but animals are Atma. Okay? Atma is not non-living things, but all non-living things are Atma. Okay, Atma doesn't move, but mobility is Atma. Atma doesn't have any actions, but all actions are Atma. Atma doesn't have any punya papam, but the enjoyer of everything is Atma. Okay, but Atma is beyond, means distinct from everything. Distinct means what? Not bound by any of the limitations. Therefore, what he wants to say, see, it is Atma who prescribes, allots, delegates duties for different devatas, all various devatas. And devatas are known by the term here Samaha or Samvatsaraha, which literally means years. So a set of devatas are called Prajapatis. Prajapatis, these devatas are ordained different duties regarding creation, which means every devata takes care of a given aspect of creation. And these devatas are from the beginning of creation until the pralaya, or the srishti to pralaya, they exist. They are relatively eternal. Shashvati bhyaha sama. Shashvati espi, shashvataha samaha. Therefore, devatas are also graded according to their punya papam. And they are also jivas. So what is clear? Sarvajnyatvat, because of the omniscience, because of sarvajnyatvam, because he has all knowledge, it is possible to ordain a given position to every jiva, whether manushya jiva or devata jiva or mruga jiva, any jiva. Okay, whatever one goes through in life is ordained by the Lord in the form of natural law. That is possible because of the knowledge. And the knowledge is not some action, very nature, surupam. Okay, now so he says, Vihitavan means it is Atma in the form of Ishvara ordained all duties. How? Yathanurupam, according to, in keeping with law of karma, law of action, all duties, Ishvara Atma in the form of Ishvara divided duties. He says, to whom? Shashvati bhyaha, nityabhyaha, they're all eternal. Samabhyaha, samvatsarakhye bhyaha, prajapati bhyaha, ityarthaha. Finished. You understood what has been said. So, prajapatihi, prajapatayaha, or the prajapatihi is a name of devatas. And these devatas are given the job of, you know, they given things to do with regard to, pertaining to creation. They are also known as Samvatsaraha, Samaha. All three words are the same. Samaha, Samvatsaraha, Prajapatiha mean the same. Please understand, literally the word Samaha, Samvatsaraha means years. Only Nishavasam in this context, Samvatsaraha means Prajapati Devataha. Anyway, what is the final meaning you have to understand? There is no creator other than Ishvara. There is no Ishvara other than Atma. Atma is not the creator, but there is no creator other than Atma. Atma is not a creation, there is no creation other than Atma. Atma is not a destroyer, but there is nothing. It is Atma in which everything resolves. Okay? It is the Atma in which everything resolves. So, the word Kavihi implies Sarvajnyatvam. Kavihi Sarvajnyatvam is the nature of the Atma. Sarvajnyatvam is having the status of all-knowing Lord. Having the status of being the all-knower. Then the word Manishi implies Sarva Ishwaratvam. Having the status of being the Lord of everything, the ordainer of everything, the supervising, okay? Having the status of being the supervisor of everything. And Paribhuhu implies Sarva Atitattvam. Sarvatam, having the status of being distinct, thereby beyond, thereby being unlimited by everything, anything. Okay? Sarva Atitattvam means what? Having the status of being distinct from everything. Thereby being unlimited by anything, unconditioned by anything. This is implied by which word? Paribhuhu. You must remember which word reveals which status. Is it? I told you Kavihi implies, the word Kavihi, they say Kavihi is all-knowing, all-seer, all-knower, means what? Sarvadrik means what? Kavihi implies Atma enjoying, Atma having the status of being the omniscient. This is Sarvajnyatvam. Kavihi implies Sarvajnyatvam. Sarvajnyatvam means having the status of being the omniscient, all-knowing. Then, Manishi. Manishi implies Sarva Ishwaratvam, Sarveshwaratvam. Sarveshwaratvam means what? Having the status of being the supervisor of everything. Upadrashta. This word Upadrashta. Then Paribhuhu. Paribhuhu implies Sarva Atitattvam. Sarva Atitattvam means having the status of being distinct, thereby being unlimited, unconditioned by anything. Being distinct from everything, thereby being unlimited by anything, unconditioned by anything. One more word, Swayambhuhu. Swayambhuhu means Sarva Atmakatvam. Sarva Atmakatvam means what? Having the status of being the truth or the self of everything. It's a noun. In Sanskritam, they use nouns, a lot of nouns. Now, one more last thing, that yatha tatyataha artan vyadadhat, for which, what's one more nature you have to say? Sarva vidhatritvam. Sarva vidhatritvam. You come across now, kavihi, manishi, paribohu, swayambohu, then yatha tattitaha artan vedadat, fifth five. So you must have five positions, isn't it? Five statuses. What are they now? Sarvajyatvam, sarva atitatvam, sarva ishwaratvam, sarva atmakatvam, sarva vidhatritvam. If you haven't got it, I can repeat it. Can you repeat? Okay. It's important because this is an important verse. The whole of the Ishavasya Upanishad, five verses are very important. Six verses are important. From third to every verse is important only, but very important verses which reveal the nature of the Atma. And there again, this concluding verse is a very important verse as well. And the first word, first line you understood that each word reveals Atma Swarupam. The second word, with Upadhi, how Atma is. Kavihi, the word Kavihi implies Atma having or enjoying the status of being the omniscient Lord. Or omniscient, all-knowing, all-knowledge. Next word, Manishi implies Sarva Ishwaratvam or Sarveshwaratvam. Sarveshwaratvam means what? Having the status of being the ruler, the governor, supervisor of everything. When this position is given, what is the Ishvara? We are saying, who is Bhagavan? Who ordains everything? Bhagavan, Ishvara. Who is Bhagavan? Atma. You have to understand. Next word, Paribhuhu. Third word, Paribhuhu. The word Paribhuhu implies Sarva Atitatvam. Sarva Atitatvam. Sarva Atitatvam means having the status of being distinct from everything, thereby being unconditioned or unlimited by anything. We are talking about whom? Who are we talking about? Myself. So you must be happy. When you feel tired, about me. Wake up. Okay. The next word, Swayambhuhu. Swayambhuhu, this word implies sarvatmakatvam. A sarvatmakatvam. A sarvatmatvam. Sarvatmakatvam means what? Having the status of being the truth, essential nature or self of all, self of everything. Now here last word. Last, we don't have any specific name for it, no? The last word tells you, Swayambhuhu, like that, okay, write one word first. யாதா தத்யதா அர்த்தான் யததா சாஸ்வதீபியா சமாபியா. ஒன் சென்டென்ஸ் இஸ் தேர், ஆல் தட் சென்டென்ஸ் ரிவீல்ஸ் ஆத்மா வாட் பீயிங் சர்வவிதாதா. சர்வவிதாதா மீன்ஸ், சர்வவிதாதா இம்ப்ளைஸ் சர்வவிதாத்ருத்வம், சர்வவிதாத்ருத்வம். சர்வவிதாத்ருத்வம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? ஹேவிங் தி ஸ்டேட்டஸ் ஆஃப் ஒன் டைம் சர்வவிதாத்ருத்வம் மீன்ஸ் ஹேவிங் தி ஸ்டேட்டஸ் ஆஃப் பீயிங் the ordainer of duties, being the one who delegates, divides duties. You can say one ordains the fruits of actions. Determiner of fruits of actions. So sarvavidhatrutvam means having the status of being the ordainer or determiner of duties, or so I can say fruits of actions, results of actions. Now you see the second line, Atma is presented as the Ishvara. Who is Ishvara here? How Ishvara is? The one who determines the results of actions is Ishvara. So no individual being has any say over results of actions. We can make the best use of our willpower. We can use our knowledge of right and wrong. We can perform actions. We can choose to do the right action. We can thoughtfully refrain from the wrong action. Once you have finished doing the action, you cannot say, I want this result for this action. That results, we do not have choice over results of actions. I explained to you and I taught to you Karma Yoga. And who decides, who determines that which result is for which action? It is Bhagavan in the form of natural law. Natural law is non-different from knowledge. That's why we say here, the one who determines the results of actions is Ishvara. One who ordains duties is also is Ishvara, in the sense of different functions, actions. One who enables all the sense organs function is Ishvara. One who enables the mind function is Ishvara. Therefore, we say, Ishvara is the one, sarvavidhata, one who determines the results of actions, ordains everything here. And sarvavidhata, so we say Ishvara has sarvavidhatrutvam. Ishvara has the status of being the determiner or bestower of results of actions. Ishvara enjoys the status of being the order of duties. We say that. And who is this Ishvara? Who is this Ishvara? The whole Atma. Like that, you have to see every word. And who is Swayambhuhu? Who is the self of all? Who is the truth of all? Who is the one who enjoys the status of being the self of all? Ishvara. The Lord. The self of all is Ishvara. Who is this Ishvara? Who is self of all? Atma. Next word. Who is Paribhuhu? Who is the one who is distinct from all, above all, Uparibhavati? Who is not unconditioned, limited by anything? Ishvara. Who is this Ishvara? Ishvara is Atma. I tell you, we have really done a good job of this verse. Then, Manishi, who is there in every mind. and who is who supervises everything? Ishvara. Who is Ishvara? Ishvara is a Kavihi. Who is the absolute knower? Who is the one obtaining as a knower in every mind, as the knower of the minds, knower of the sense organs, knower of the world, knower of everything? Who is that Ishvara? Who is it, Ishvara? Atma. Therefore, everything is Ishvara. Ishvara is Atma. Ahamatma, so I am everything. When you say that, where should you place your eye? Not 50-70 kilos, okay? Body. Consciousness. Atma. Okay. We have at last completed this verse. So with this Atma Swarupam, the world verses revealing the Atma Swarupam, discussing the Atma Swarupam are over. We move on to the next page. Page number 54. But here, in the 54, first Bhashyam comes. So let us read the verse first. You know why? Because now the Bhashyam you find in page number 54 is an introduction to the next topic. Isn't it? Let us read the verse first. Andhantamaha
Pravishanti
Ye Avidyamupasate. This one, yes, you find that S is avagraha. It is actually akara. Okay. Andhantamah pravishanti. Andhantamah pravishanti. Want to break it? Andham tamaha. Andham tamaha. Pravishanti. Ye avidyamupasate. Tato bhuya ivate. Tamo ya u. Vidyayam rataha. Vidyayagum rataha. Vidyayagum rataha. Don't worry. When you go to the verse, we'll take care of it. Now, this is the ninth mantra. We can say we have successfully completed the first part of the Upanishad. This is Jnana Yoga topic is complete. What was briefly discussed in the first verse was elaborately discussed in the six verses. You will agree with me. We have finished. Now we are entering to the ninth verse, and you must remember, I already told you, from this ninth verse onwards until the 18th verse, the 10 verses discuss the elaborate on the second mantra of this Upanishad. So Karma Yoga is going to be the path of karma. It's going to be elaborately discussed. In fact, if you take the Veda, whole Veda, the Upanishad Jnana Kandaha is a tiny little portion, and the Karma Kanda is most voluminous portion. So here also we have 10 verses discussing Karma Kanda. Only 6 verses discuss Jnana Kanda. No? The knowledge. Now see, look in this verse now. We have seen the verse. We'll read the Bhashyam first. Before we enter into the Bhashyam, very interesting Bhashyam follows. You can relax here. So, elaboration or explanation of the way of life called Karma Yoga or Pravritti Lakshanaha Dharma. Is presented in these 10 verses from the 9th verse. And in these portions, if we take 10 verses, how they are divided, we understand. Karma Upasana Samuchayaha. Ritual, combination of ritual, combination of karma and upasanam. Upasana means meditation. Combination of action and meditation. Action here is ritual and meditation is the first topic discussed. The combination of rich performance of action and meditation. Meditation is a mental activity. Karma is a physical activity, physical and oral activities. So combining rich performance of ritual, which is a physical, which involves physical oral activities, also mind, with a purely mental activity called meditation. Okay? Any physical activity when you are doing, if you are simply doing physically, physical activity. In physical activity, mind is involved. You are speaking some oral activity, mind is involved. You cannot do mechanically, physically. You cannot speak mechanically. When you are speaking, your mind is very much there. When you are doing, mind is very much there. In physical activity and mental oral activity, mind is involved, along with the body and speech. Whereas in meditation, purely a mental activity where mind alone is involved, body and speech are not involved. Okay? So, kayikam karma, physical activity. Vachikam karma, oral activity. Manasam karma, mental activity. Meditation is purely a manasam karma, mental activity where body and speech are not involved. Whereas in oral activity, along with the speech, what is involved? Mind is involved. In physical activity also, along with the body, mind is involved. You cannot do anything physically, orally, mechanically without being attentive. Isn't it? So this is the difference here. Anyway, so what is the first topic discussed in these 10 verses? 9, 10 and 11. In 3 mantras, 9, 10 and 11, in these three mantras, combination of karma and upasanam. Is discussed, which means karma upasana samuchayaha is the topic discussed in 3 verses 9, 10 and 11. Thereafter, the rest of the three, we say 12, 13 and 14. In these three verses, Upasana Dvaya Samuchayaha is discussed. It means combining two meditations, combination of two meditations is the subject matter. Upasana Dvayam. Means a set of two is dvayam. Upasana dvaya samuchayaha means combining two meditations, combination of two pure mental activities, upasanas, okay, is subject matter discussed in the next three mantras 12, 13 and 14. Okay? And the last four, 15, 16, 17, 18. Afterwards, That's all. That's the 19th mantra. In last four mantras, 15, 16, 17, 18, in all those four mantras, there's a prayer for better position after death. Gati Prarthana. Gati Prarthana is the topic discussed in the rest of the four mantras. Some people may say, Ishavasya Upanishad is over with the 8th mantra. Now, can all of us can keep the book and close it and keep it somewhere, go away. Some people say that because actual teaching of Upanishad is over with the 8th mantra. But still, we should not do that. You know why? If you want to have understand the whole vision of the Shastram, Veda Shastram, to understand the heart of the Veda, it is very important to understand the whole Upanishad. Okay? So, the three topics discussed in these 10 verses, 10 mantras. And now, this is an elaborate discussion on Karma Yoga or Pravritti Marga, Pravritti Dharma Lakshana, Pravritti Marga. Shankara Bhagavatpada again wants to introduce this topic. He likes to write introduction again. But without his commentary, we really cannot see, understand things. So let us read his commentary. In fact, the whole Veda Shastra, we understand very beautiful. The entire Veda is divided into two different subject matters, two different shastrams. Pravrityatmakam shastram, nivrityatmakam shastram. Which means two different textbooks. One whole book presents consists of two different shastrams, two different subject matter. So the first is the Karma Yoga is a discipline discussed in the Karma Pravrityatmakam Shastram. And the Jnana Yoga is discussed in the Nivrityatmakam Shastram. And both disciplines are important for every individual ultimately to attain knowledge, thereby to discover one's freedom. For a human being, for the life to become absolutely successful, meaningful, complete, one has to ultimately attain the knowledge of the truth. Attainment of knowledge of the truth itself is attainment of freedom. There is no greater accomplishment for a human being other than discovering one's own real nature, being the truth of the whole, one's own nature, being happiness, fullness and freedom. There's no greater achievement. And it is the attainment of self. Knowledge is said to be what? The attainment of absolute success. Whatever we achieve in life, any achievement, of course, is very praiseworthy. No achievement is looked down upon. Everything is beautiful and wonderful. It's all, any achievement is Ishvara's grace. Whether we make a lot of money, we come up in positions, we get... any achievement is Bhagavan's grace. No doubt about it. Don't look down upon it. You don't undermine anything. But all those so-called achievements are relative achievements. Any success is not a relative success, not absolute success. But what is that absolute success? What makes a person's life complete and meaningful and absolutely successful is, it is this discovery of happiness obtaining as one's own nature, which implies self-knowledge. Anyway, so the whole Veda is aiming at that, but it presents two Shastrams, and in Ishavasya Upanishad, tiny little Upanishad, consisting only of 18 mantras, this division is shown very beautifully. Even a person who is not exposed to everything, you can have a core vision of the Shastra. Understanding of Shastra is possible. So here, Shankar Bhagatpada himself, in fact, beautifully divides, makes the division of these topics in this Upanishad, and he also comments upon these mantras. How is this division here, isn't it? Very clear division. There's no vagueness here. Very clear division of the entire Upanishad is presented in the very introductory commentary. Let us read now page number 54. Atrādhyena mantrena. If you are with me, you can really understand. Atra Adhyena mantrena. Adhyaha mantraha means first mantra, beginning mantra. Sarveshana parityagena jnananishtha ukta prathamaha vedarthaha ईशावास्यमिदं सर्वं मा गृदः कस्य श्रुद्धनम् इति. सो दैट इज द फर्स्ट सेंटेंस. व्हाट ही सेज, शंकर भगवत्पादा इन हिज कमेंट्री ही रिमाइंड्स अस अगेन, थिंकिंग वी माइट हैव फॉरगॉटन व्हाट वाज सेड इन द बिगिनिंग. वी हैव नॉट फॉरगॉटन. We have not forgotten. We don't need to be reminded. But Shankar Bhagatpada makes effort to remind us. Okay? So let us accept him. So, Adhyena mantrena sarveshana parityagena jnana nishtha ukta prathamo vedarthaha. What does it mean? He quotes the first mantra again. Ishavasyamidam, Ishavasyam, idagum sarvam. Yat kinch jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjitaha ma gridah kasya sruddhanam is the first mantra. I am not repeating. Shankar Bhagavatpada, in his bhasham, he repeats the whole mantra. And the person who has printed this book, they didn't want to repeat the whole mantra, put dots. Okay. Anyway, because they didn't want us to feel bored with that thing. But we should not feel bored. In fact, today you are going to, in the Vashyam itself, you understand what is boredom. Boredom is loneliness. You know what is loneliness? Not being able to be by oneself is loneliness, which is boredom. Not being able to be by oneself. In fact, the whole Shastra study is ultimately for us to learn how to be by oneself. How to be with yourself. Very profound sentence. Okay. So, what he says, In this first mantra beginning, this Ishavasya, Ishavanam Sarvam, the first mantra, Prathamaha Vedartha. Prathamaha Vedartha means the primary aim of the Veda Shastra. The ultimate aim of the Veda. Prathamaha Vedartha means ultimate aim of the Veda, the entire Veda. In terms of attainment of knowledge of the truth, for which the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is discussed, revealed by the first mantra, discussed or revealed by the first mantra through the renunciation of desires for three factors: world, wealth and project. This is the first mantra. Then he says, second mantra, look at the second line. Jnana nishtha means jnana yogaha. Jnana yogaha means what? The discipline of pursuit of knowledge. The discipline of pursuit of knowledge is jnana yoga, is jnana yogaha. And is jnana yogaha, the discipline of pursuit of knowledge is the ultimate aim of Veda Shastram, and this is discussed, revealed by the first mantra. Through the renunciation of sannyasa, or you can say by the renunciation of sannyasa. I'll repeat again. Jnana yogaha, the discipline of pursuit of knowledge, is discussed by the first mantra by renunciation of yeshanatrayam, threefold desires for threefold things. The second line now. Ajnanam jijivishunam jnananishtha asambhave. Those who are reading Sanskritam, be careful. Jnananishtha sambhave is there. An I is missing, okay? Avagraha. Jnananishtha asambhave. Anishta asambhave kurvanne. Second mantra he repeats. Kurvanne veha karmani jiji visheta gum samaha. Then mantra he repeats. Iti karmanishta ukta dvitiyaha vedartha. The second dvitiyaha vedartha means the secondary meaning. Secondary, the topic of secondary importance. The topic of primary importance is Jnana Yogaha. The topic of secondary importance is Karma Yogaha. And this Karma Yogaha, the topic of secondary importance in the Veda, in terms of the discipline of karma yoga means discipline of living a life of karma yoga. Karma nishtha means what? Jnana nishtha means jnana yoga, the discipline of pursuit of knowledge. And karma nishtha means karma yoga, the discipline of living a life of karma yoga. Okay, this is the topic of secondary importance of the Veda is discussed in the second mantra of the Ishavasya Upanishad. Finished. The first paragraph of Shankara's commentary is over. You understood very well. So Shankara Bhagavatpada himself very clearly presents the division of the entire Upanishad in these two lines of his commentary. Okay, so Pratamaha Vedartha means the primary topic of importance of the Veda being the discipline of Jnana Yoga, the pursuit of knowledge, is discussed in the first mantra. And the Karma Yoga, the secondary topic of importance, the Karma Yoga, is discussed in the second mantra. Finished. This is what he says in his commentary. Now the question may come, how come Jnana Yoga is said to be the Pratamaha Vedartha, Karma Yoga, no, Karma Nishtha is said to be the Dvitiyaha Vedartha? Understand here, if we see the order, Karma Yoga should come first, Jnana Yoga should come later. Isn't it? Because Karma Yoga is a preparatory discipline, Jnana Yoga is for the attainment of knowledge, Karma Yoga is for preparing the mind for knowledge. Which should precede, which should come later? Karma Yoga should come late first, Jnana Yoga should come later. That is correct. In the order wise, that is correct. But if you see the order, no, the chronological order in terms of importance, when you see, Jnana Yoga comes first, Karma Yoga comes second. In terms of importance, in chronological order, Jnana Yoga comes first, Karma Yoga comes later. But in terms of the following the disciplines, Karma Yoga comes first, Jnana Yoga should come later. Is it clear? Because he says, Pratamaha Vedartha Jnana Yoga Nishtha. No, Jnana Nishtha. Dvitiyaha Vedartha Karma Nishtha. Two disciplines are prescribed in two mantras, first and second respectively. Okay, go next. Marjalaha api Vedantam shrotum icchati. What does it mean? Marjalaha api. Marjalaha means cat. Marjalaha api Vedanta shastram shrotum icchati. Cat also wants to listen to Vedanta. And so trying to come inside. And we have closed the doors. Okay. Now next we go next line. Anayoscha
Anayoscha
Nishtayoho
Nishtayoho
Vibhagoho
Vibhagoho
Mantra Pradarshitayoho
Mantra Pradarshitayoho.
Sorry, not Vibhagoho, sorry, please explain correctly. Anayoscha Nishtayoho Vibhagaha.
Vibhagaha.
So, there should not be any visarga, okay? Only when you break it, there must be visarga. Vibhaga Anayoho Nishtayoho Vibhagaha. So Anayoho Mantra Pradarshitayoho Nishtayoho Vibhagaha. This division, now what he says, this division of two disciplines, this division of two disciplines, okay, the difference in two disciplines presented in the Veda Shastram, which is briefly, beautifully, clearly presented in Ishavasya Upanishad in these two mantras. The difference in two disciplines, division of two disciplines which is discussed in the entire Veda Shastram is very clearly, briefly presented in these two, shown in these two mantras of Ishavasya Upanishad. So, anayoho, mantra pradishitayoho, nishtayoho, vibhagaha, division, difference between these two lifestyles, these two disciplines, revealed by these two mantras, is also discussed in, very elaborately discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Now, Shankara Bhagavatpada wants us to understand, even if you have not yet studied, how can you study? Mantra you are studying now. Even if we do not know what is discussed in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, he wants us to understand an idea of what is discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also. Why? Because both these Upanishads belong to the same Veda, Shukla Yajur Vedaha. And Ishavasyam is a Mantra Upanishad. Brihadaranyakam is a Brahmana Upanishad. Brahmana Upanishad is always a commentary upon the Mantra Upanishad. Therefore, if whatever is discussed in Ishavasyam must be discussed elaborately in Brihadaranyakam. Is it clear? So, what he wants to bring some, present some quotations from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad for us to understand how Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also presents this division of two disciplines clearly in Brihadaranyakam. Is it clear? In the next paragraph of Shankara's commentary, he presents this division of these two disciplines or two lifestyles. Karma Yoga lifestyle or the discipline of living a life of Karma Yoga, or Jnana Yoga, the discipline of pursuit of knowledge, or a sannyasi lifestyle. Okay, these two lifestyles or two disciplines, the division of these two, clearly, briefly presented in Ishavasya Upanishad, is also clearly revealed in, discussed in the, elaborately discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So he says here, mantra pradarshitayoho, Brihadaranyake api pradarshitaha. So, Brihadaranyake api pradarshitaha. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also pradarshitaha has been shown. What is shown, what has been shown, what has been revealed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad? Vibhagaha, division. Division of what? Division of these two committed lifestyles, or division of these two committed pursuits, or two disciplines. Okay? Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga, two disciplines are discussed also in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So, Anayoho Nishtayoho Vibhagaha Mantra Pradashitayoho Brihadaranyake Api Pradashitaha. And having said that, and here he meant quotes a mantra from the first chapter of fourth section, 17th mantra from the fourth chapter of fourth section of first chapter. Okay, he quotes. Now you can be prepared for story. Ready for story. Sokamayata Jayame Syat. He only said, quotes only one mantra. Sokamayata Jayame Syat. इत्यादिना अज्ञस्य कामिनः कर्माणि इति मन एव अस्य आत्मा वाग्जाया. दिस इज अनदर मंत्र. दिस इज द 17th मंत्र. सो सेम मंत्र 17th मंत्र from the fourth chapter of fourth section of first chapter. These two sentences are actually from these two sentences are actually 17th mantra or the fourth section of first chapter. He quotes. Don't worry about all these things. Now we'll have a story. Okay, interesting story. So here really you can relax now. In this whole paragraph, Shankara Bhagavad Pada discusses Karma Yoga or Pravritti Margaha discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. By quoting two sentences, he briefly discusses Karma Yoga discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And the following paragraph, he is going to discuss the Jnana Yoga discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. That's all the Bhashyam. What do we have for Bhashyam, for this introductory Bhashyam? Before he enters into the Karma Yoga topic, commenting upon the mantras of Karma Yoga, he himself gives his introduction to this topic, and for which he discusses, he wants to remind us that how Ishavasya Upanishad by itself very clearly presents the division of two disciplines by first and second mantras. Then he presents quotations from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, and he wants to show briefly how in Brihadaranyakam also the same divisions are discussed, which means we should not take it for granted. What Ishavasya says, Brihadaranyakam also says. There's no contradiction between Upanishads. Oh, in Ishavasyam two lifestyles are said to be followed together. Followed like this. In Brihadaranyakam something else is taught. No. Whichever Upanishad you study, the same teaching. Upanishads do not differ in their teaching. Words are different, mantras are different. And the prakriyas are the same. Sometimes the mantras are very different. Srishti is discussed in different ways. Even though there are differences there, the core vision is the same. Teaching is the same. Okay. And he only wants to present what? In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, also this division of two disciplines of Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga very elaborately discussed, and he wants to have some understanding. So he quotes those sentences, and Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga discussed in that Upanishad also is presented here in two paragraphs. With that, the commentary on this mantra will be commentary, the introductory commentary will be over, then we can enter into the mantra. But before we go to the mantra, we have to complete this. Okay? Now, you only understood until now two sentences of Shankara's commentary. We have to read the rest of the commentary. So now, so we'll come back and enjoy the story in the afternoon. Okay? Any questions? Yesterday, as I said, I'll discuss the concept of Ishvara. I'll do it later when we finish the text first. Then I'll do it.
So my question is actually about Ishvara. So maybe I should wait until
you... Yeah. Anyway, I can briefly answer you now.
Okay. So then, if we are Atma, and Ishvara is Atma, how come we are not Ishvara? Ishvara is us, but we are not Ishvara. Like,
no, you are Ishvara, you are Atma, Ishvara is Atma, you are Atma, Ishvara is Atma. Correct. If you, when you say Ishvara is Atma, you are Atma, the upadhi difference is there. Between you and Ishvara, there is definitely upadhi difference. Difference is there. When you say Ishvara, you mean the total upadhi. No upadhi? Upadhi, understood upadhi? Between Ishvara and Jiva, upadhi bedaha is there. Therefore, Ishvara is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Whereas individual Jiva is not, Jiva knows very little. Jiva's Shakti is very little. Alpajnaha means knower of little. Alpa Shaktiman, little potency you have, little powers you have. So Jiva has limitations, definitely. The limitations are because of what? In what way how can you say I am Ishvara? How can you equate wave to ocean? How can we equate individual to the Lord, the total? How can individual be equated to the total, the whole? That's the question. Am I correct? First, let me answer the question first. Individual is equated to the total from the standpoint of the essential nature which is real. From the standpoint of the superficial appearance, the standpoint of upadhi is definitely there is difference between Jiva and Ishvara. That is why we bow to the Lord, we worship the Lord, we pray to the Lord. If there is no difference at all between Jiva and Ishvara, why should we make effort to equate? How is equation possible? There is no difference between you, the Jiva, and Ishvara, the whole. There is no difference. Then there is no need for your equation. Equation is not possible if there is no difference. Equation is not necessary. Is it clear? But if there is only difference between Jiva and Ishvara also, equation is not possible. Between Jiva and Ishvara, there must be difference, there must be non-difference also. Only difference is there, equation is not possible. Non-difference alone is there, equation is not necessary. There must be difference, there must be non-difference. From which standpoint there is difference? Mithya upadhi standpoint there is difference. Upadhi means the form. Okay, individual has a physical body. Individual, as individual, you have physical body, you have mind. Body is said to be an abode of enjoyment. The sense organs and mind are said to be instruments of enjoyment. And you have physiological functions. So individual body, mind, sense complex is an individual Jiva Upadhi. Okay? The locus of operation for Jiva. And for Ishvara, total Upadhi. Total means you can include the whole. Whole, total includes your body, mind and complex also. Upadhi. So upadhi is, difference is in upadhi. Because of the difference is in upadhi, Ishvara is said to be all-knowing. The one who knows through all the minds. all-knowing. One who operates through all sense organs, all bodies, through everything. The whole means what? Ishvara. That's why Ishvara is said to be Sarvajna, Sarvashaktiman, Kavihi, Maneshi, Paribhuhu, Swayambhuhu. We understood just now. So Upadhi Beda is there. But these Upadhis are Mithya. Ishvara Upadhi is Mithya. Jiva Upadhi is also Mithya. Why Mithya? Jiva Upadhi is matter. Ishvara Upadhi is also matter. Mithya means any Upadhi being matter does not have independent existence of its own. Anything which does not have independent existence of its own is not countable as a second thing, another thing. Okay? Therefore, it is as good as non-existent. Like now, ocean, the word denoting the form, the big form, and it serves a purpose, like crews go and all that. Then the big ships go, small ships go, fishing is happening, lots of things are happening. All those functions associated with the ocean, the big form, also what? Form, name and function, all are mithya. Okay, it's called big upadhi, upadhi mithya. Why? Because without the water, where is ocean, where is the form ocean, where is the name ocean, where are the functions and activities associated with the ocean? Nil. Therefore, upadhi is mithya. And with reference to ocean, we say satyam is the truth is water. Satyam, mithya are not two different things but two orders of the same reality. Okay. And a wave form also is mithya. Wave also is a small tiny form. It has a form, name, and it has its own function of pushing and all those things. Pushes the weeds out. If we go and swim, it pushes us. Pleases us. It's a wave function. So, the form, name and function, the form, name, function, wave always mithya. Why? These both the forms, huge or small, are mithya, do not have independent existence of their own, non-countable. They are as though. So all these differences also what now? As though. The forms, names and functions are as though. What about anything then? Anything goes, forms, names and functions are mithya. What is satyam with reference to wave and ocean? Their non-difference. So non-difference from the standpoint of the truth, there's difference from the standpoint of upadhis. So the equation is made in Tattvamasi also, any Mahavakyam, equation is, this, it's an equation. Tattvamasi is an equation. Where Jiva, the individual, is equated to the Lord, the whole. So equation itself implies there must be difference as well as non-difference. Otherwise equation is meaningless. Isn't it? So from which standpoint is difference? The mithya standpoint is difference. Which comes and goes. Which is impermanent. Which is non-countable. Whereas, from the standpoint of the truth, the ultimate, which doesn't come and go, which is always there, which alone is real, timelessly, especially timelessly, changelessly, independently, which always there is the truth. The standpoint of the truth, there is non-difference. So we don't need to study Shastra. Okay? And I said similarly here also, the standpoint of the upadhis, jiva upadhi, and Ishvara Upadhi, there is difference. Ishvara Sarvajna and all that. The standpoint of essential nature of Jiva and Ishvara, there is non-difference. How are you equated to the Lord? Essentially, you are the truth, and Ishvara also is the same truth. And same means what? Truth is one, secondless, non-dual. Ekam, Advitiyam, Advayam, Satyam. Truth. The standpoint of the essential nature beyond which nothing is, that is the ultimate truth. The standpoint, ultimate truth, there is no difference between the individual and the total. So, mithya difference, we cannot deny. But absolutely, there is non-difference. Empirically, relatively, objectively, there is difference. Absolutely, there is no difference. So, the Shastra study is not for understanding the difference. Why? You already know, without studying anything, I am small, Bhagwan is the whole, I am different from the Lord, I seek Bhagwan's grace, I worship the Lord, I pray to the Lord, I feel helpless. This difference already is known. We don't need to come study the Upanishads to understand the difference. What is already known to you, Upanishad need not teach you. If Upanishad teaches you what is already known to you, that you are different from the Lord, Lord is different from you, okay, then Upanishad restates what you already know. Then it's not worth sparing time for Upanishad. Upanishad must teach you something which we do not know, which you cannot know through any other means. What is that? Non-difference. So Upanishad teaches you how you are non-different from the Lord. The question comes, what is the use of knowing myself being non-different from the Lord? Essentially, when you shift your eye sense from the Upadhi to the truth, the whole idea is that the non-difference is taught for you to shift your identity from mithya upadhi to satyam. If your identity is the satyam, you are free, limitless, and you are Lord also. It's clear? Yes.
Thank you very much for the explanation, but still I feel kind of problem when we pick, as I understood, the absolute has the characteristics of identity come difference. Am I right? The absolute is can be characterized as that which has identity and difference.
No. I didn't say identity.
Identity
and
difference?
No.
Oneness and separateness?
No. Absolute doesn't have any identity.
No identity. No difference. None of the both.
Oh. No, absolute means what? None of the both means what? What do you mean by absolute?
No, the point that I want, the analogy of ocean that we brought, the water is absolute and the wave and ocean are that.
Example.
Yeah, so in that case, the point that I want to bring is, when we talk of this upadhi or difference or individuality, why do we call it as a mithya, though it is conventional, though we know it? Like, what is the insight of calling that as a mithya or maya? That's my question.
Yeah. Actually, mithya and maya, two different words. They have nothing to do with each other. Maya is mithya. Maya is a name. Maya is a word denoting the power of reality. The power of reality, inseparable from the reality, is denoted by a word maya. And this power of reality is mithya. Power is mithya. Therefore, Maya is mithya. Okay? Why do you say mithya? Mithya means that which is as though. I had to come one by one. That which is as though means that which cannot be defined definitely as real. That which can be defined as unreal also. So Maya is not unreal. Maya is not real also. Why it is not real? Because it does not have, not real. Real is that which has independent existence. Maya does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore, it is not real. At the same time, why it is not unreal? Because it is not something which doesn't exist at all. Like a rabbit's horn. Is there? Therefore, it is not unreal. If it is there, it is as though it doesn't have independent existence of its own. Then the technical term used is mithya. There is no equivalent English term, no any of the European languages. Mithya has to be understood as mithya. Mithya. Okay? So, these upadis are there. Upadi we call it. I explained the upadi recently in a class. So, Ishwara upadi is the whole jagat. Jiva upadi is the individual body, mind, hence complex. So these upadis are material products, matter. So upadis are, there is difference in upadis. So from the standpoint of upadi when you operate, we have to accept the inferiority from the standpoint of Ishvara. So I am the worshipper, Lord is worshipped. I am devotee, Lord is the deity, devotee difference. Worshipper, worshipped difference. The one who is praying to, the one who is praying to, difference is there. At the relative level, nobody can deny it. But at the absolute level, from the standpoint of reality, there is no difference. There is no difference.
So, the Mithya just said that it is neither real nor unreal, right? And it does not have an equivalent sound. But when we use the word Mithya, it sounds like the opposite of Samyak. Samyak and Mithya.
No.
It's not the opposite of
Samyak,
it has a very special meaning.
No, Mithya is just a simple word denoting anything which is neither real nor unreal. Okay? Maya is unreal, Maya is Mithya, so also the manifest universe also is Mithya, we say. Okay? The unmanifest power is called Maya, the manifest power is called universe. Again, I tell you, two different words, universe, jagat. Prapanchaha, lokaha, world, cosmos. These are the words, names given to the manifest power of reality. The unmanifest power of reality is known by the term Maya. So Maya and world are two different names attributed to the only power. What is world? Manifest power of reality is world. Unmanifest power of reality is Maya. So two different words. Why? And the power is unmanifest, Maya. Power is manifest, world, Mithya. The power is manifest or unmanifest, it is Mithya. The power doesn't have independent existence outside of the source of the power. It's okay. Samyak means good.
Yeah.
The word Samyak means adverb and adjective. Adverb, it means good. Nothing to do with Mithya.
But in Sanskrit language, when you want to put them in like antonyms, we use Samyak and Mithya. So I think it has a very technical meaning.
No. Mithya is a word used only in Vedanta. What you're telling me, Vitatha means that is different. Mithya is from Vitatha.
In Jainism we have Mithya Darshan. In Jainism we have this term Mithya Darshan. And Mithya there is not Maya, it is perverse. It is absolutely perverse perception. So understand.
False.
No, not false, perverse. So when I understand and saintly as a non-saintly, it is Mithya Darshan. Sentient as
thinking, to understand a sentient form as an insentient form is a mithyadarshan.
Okay, I don't know how, I don't know Jainism. Anyway, but in Vedanta, this is the meaning. Okay? All very clear? Don't worry. Before we complete the Upanishad, we'll discuss Ishvara. Today I asked the question, I thought I should do separately Ishvara, so I want to make it very clear here. And I want to complete the text. I'm so slow, very slow here. Upanishad. I'm still in 9th mantra, Swamiji. That's why I wanted to finish the text first. Then I want to discuss the Ishvara concept separately for the sake of clarity only. But anyway, you asked, I just started it a little bit. We'll continue again. It's clear now? The equation is clear. In fact, in Upanishads, we have these important statements called Mahavakyams. Vakyam means sentence. Mahavakya means a great sentence, great statement, and a great declaration. What is great statement? Well, three words are there. Tat Tvam Asi. Aham Brahma Asmi. I am Atma Brahma. You know, Prajnanam Brahma. Well, two words and three words. What big statement? A statement which reveals the oneness of the reality of the individual and the total. Is Mahavakyam. So equation, each Mahavakyam is an equation where Jiva is equated to Ishvara. And there, even this Jiva status is also Mithya. Ishvara's status is also Mithya. What is Satyam then? Jiva Upadhi is Mithya. The status also is Mithya. Satyam is the truth, the Atma. Okay, the Jiva status is given to the same Atma. Ishvara's status is attributed to the same Atma. From the standpoint of Upadis. You understand? If cognitively, physically, you cannot undo the Upadis. But intellectually, you can discern, distinguish the Upahitam from the Upadhi. The standpoint of Upahitam on the same. Even the status of Jiva, Ishvara, two different qualifications attributed to the only reality implied by the term Atma and Brahma.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.
May Bhagavan bless all of us with a clear vision of the truth, clear understanding of the teaching. May Bhagavan bless us with the vision of the Upanishads. May Bhagavan bless us with all the strength to live the vision of the Upanishads. Om.